Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. It's common sense and good science. We've got that story plus Colorado terror, but first, casus belli. Israeli military admits to shooting Palestinians near Gaza aid site. 27 reported killed. Taking this, of course, from one of the few places that'll always cover this, antiwar.com. Gaza's health ministry said Tuesday that at least 27 people were killed when Israeli forces opened fire on Palestinians attempting to collect aid near a distribution site in southern Gaza. The Israeli military admitted that it opened fire at Palestinians near distribution sites, claiming it targeted suspects who were approaching IDF troops. The statement did not allege that the Palestinians were armed. Axios later reported that IDF acknowledged it fired at civilians. Earlier today, during the movement of the crowd along the designated routes towards the aid distribution site, approximately half a kilometer from the site, IDF troops identified several suspects moving towards them, deviating from the designated routes, the IDF said in a statement. The troops carried out the warning fire, and after the suspects failed to retreat, additional shots were directed near individual suspects who advanced towards the troops, the statement added. The IDF said that it was aware of reports regarding casualties, and the details of the incident are being looked into. Since October 7, 2023, the ministry's death toll has reached 54,510, and the number of wounded climbed to 124,901, figures that do not account for the thousands missing and presumed dead under the rubble or indirect deaths caused by Israelis' siege. Israeli Mossad named as funder of Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. James, this one from the Ron Paul Institute I would like to know more about. U.S.-backed Gaza Aid Foundation taps Christian Zionist as new director. And then, of course, the other giant World War III story going on. Ukrainian smuggled drones hidden inside cabins on trucks to strike decisive blow on Russian airfields. Ukrainian drone swarm attack marks grim inflection point in the history of warfare. And James, here we are yet again charting the future history of warfare.
Yay, what a fun time to be alive. Well, what an interesting time anyway, isn't it? And on the Israeli-Gaza story, I think that this is obvious echo of the story that we covered here over a year ago now on New World Next Week, number 547, on the Flower Massacre and the Gaza Holocaust, where we talked about the previous time, or one of the previous times, where there was the massive humanitarian massacre going on, luring in sick and starving people with promises of food and then mowing them down in wanton slaughter. We covered that, a year ago. Well, here we are in a similar situation, but in a way this is even worse, because I think what it shows is, as that Ron Paul Institute article points to, not only, of course, that, spoiler alert for anyone who didn't know, the money for this Gaza Humanitarian Fund is coming from, drumroll please, the Mossad and the Israeli Ministry of Defense. Wow, big surprise. And yes, of course, they've just appointed their Christian Zionist leader of this U.S.-backed group. So, wonderful. So, it kind of makes you wonder, why? Why is this Gaza Humanitarian Fund operating there? What are they doing? Oh, because they care so much about the Palestinians. Oh, maybe not. And the real, I think, meat and potatoes of this is down further in that article that's being posted up on the Ron Paul Institute. The GHF, Gaza Humanitarian Fund, model appears integral to Israel's stated plan to occupy 75% of the Gaza Strip, forcing starving and homeless Palestinians into what its military has branded as humanitarian islands designed to divide and rule the decimated enclave. And they have a little post up, a little picture of this humanitarian island concept with, of course, Gaza being carved up into strips that will then be served at different, humanitarian aid points. See, they're giving all this aid, mowing people down as appropriate, herding them into cattle pens, essentially, so that they can be ethnically cleansed and removed from their land. Cool. So that's still all going on. And, of course, under the guise of aid, because when has humanitarian aid ever been used for nefarious purposes? Well, here's an example. On the Ukrainian story, it is a wild story when you look into it, the way that these drones were smuggled into Russia on tankers and trucks and things in ways that are exactly what people have been warning about for a long time. But this is the kind of horrifying proof of concept implementation of that that unfortunately for all of us, for all of humanity, shows how just how deadly effective the swarm bot murder bots of the future are going to be. As that Zero Hedge article states, greater than $1 billion in damage caused by less than $1 million of drones, i.e. critical infrastructure is no longer safe. Yep, this is the model, obviously. This is the model of warfare going forward. Kind of exactly as I was talking about back last year in the drone wars, you are not prepared, where I was talking about, I don't think people understand just how incredibly different warfare of the future is going to look. Well, this is a good glimpse into that, and I use the word good, ironically, I suppose, there. But, yep, here we are, documenting the future of warfare, and it's unfortunately becoming our present, isn't it? Present.
I was listening to the latest live broadcast from our buddy Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, the other night, talking about the situation in Ukraine and Russia. Pretty massive events going on there. And James, for the second week in a row, I feel like I have to make the reference. In The Running Man, they fake the footage of him firing on civilians to make him guilty so that they can shove him on The Running Man show. It's the whole setup. He's not really supposed to be there. And isn't it interesting how many homemade guns or slaughter bots or makeshift flamethrowers are now being used to carry out what is essentially probably domestic terror from Japan to up the road in Colorado? White House says wife, five children of Boulder, Colorado attack suspect are in ICE custody. This from NBC News. And again, everything we talk about are always linked up down in the show notes. Family of a man accused of launching an anti-Semitic attack that injured 12 people in Boulder, Colorado on Sunday are in Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody. The White House probably breathlessly, excitedly announced on Tuesday with, of course, the Homeland Security Barbie, Kristi Noem. The wife and five children of illegal alien Mohammed Soliman, the suspect in the anti-Semitic, which is not capitalized, firebombing of Jewish Americans, has been captured and are now in ICE custody for expedited removal, the White House said on its official X account. Oh, but they're fighting with Elon now. They could be deported as early as tonight, all caps, the Post concluded. The Department of Homeland... we've reached the point where finally our government speaks in internet... LOL! All caps. The Department of Homeland Security is investigating to what extent the family of Mohammed Sabri Soliman, 45, knew about this heinous attack, if they had knowledge of it, or if they provided support to it, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem wrote separately on X. What if the family is a bunch of little kids, though? She described Soliman as a terrorist and illegal alien who will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. I am continuing to pray for the victims of this attack and their families. Justice will be served. Hey, it could be worse. At least they're not in Israel. No one died in this attack. Soliman is accused of using a makeshift flamethrower, which all the news has pretty much put in quotes. And of course, classic Russian Molotov cocktails on a group of people peacefully calling for the release of Israeli hostages in Gaza in Boulder, Colorado. Man, they had almost freed the hostages, but this totally ruined it. Now the hostages won't be set free. At least 12 people were injured and 8 ranging in age from 52 to 82 were admitted to the hospital with burns. Soliman is an Egyptian national. The Department of Homeland Security said Monday that he entered the country legally on a B-2 visa normally issued to tourists in August 2022 and filed for asylum in September 2022. His visa expired February 23, and he had not yet exhausted all his legal Running Man options to stay in the U.S. He was charged in Colorado with attempted first-degree murder after deliberation, attempted first-degree murder with extreme indifference, first-degree assault, including attack against an at-risk victim older than 70. So that's a new crime, too, now. It was an old person. You're the worst. You are the worst, but not for that reason. And possession of an incendiary device. Again, pretty sure murdering people's already kind of a big crime. It doesn't have to be some extra hate crime thing on top of it. He remains in custody on $10 million bond. He was also charged with a federal hate crime on Monday. Prosecutors said Soliman told authorities he had been planning the attack for a year and he hated what he called the Zionist group. Yeah, we all do. But acting like them probably won't help the cause. As Laura Loomer reports, Mohammed Soliman, the Muslim man who carried out the Islamic terrorist attack in Colorado today, appears to be an immigrant from Kuwait who arrived in the U.S. under Joe Biden's open border policies 2 years ago. And James, as I joked, haha, on my morning show, maybe he used that Biden app.
Well, James, I think we have two possibilities here. One is that this Mohammed Soliman character is exactly as presented and did things for exactly the reasons that we're being told, in which case he is a blithering idiot with single-digit IQ who, for whatever, you know, reason, came up with the exact plan and the exact strategy that would backfire against his supposed views in the most incredible way possible. In the midst of an administration that is looking, thirsting, hungering for anything to show foreigner bad, not only in that context, but also in the context of Rubio's State Department making anti-Semitism illegal, essentially, or anything that they call anti-Semitism, to do a spectacular anti-Semitic attack by an illegal immigrant. Boy, that hits every button. It's almost as if Mohammed Soliman is such a perfect character for the stage play that they're putting on right now that if he didn't exist, they would have had to invent him. And so I guess that's the second option. Maybe there is more to this story. And I, for an example of how that could work, I will invite people to look at my The Secret History of Al-Qaeda documentary, in which I talk, for example, about the blind sheikh. Remember Omar Abdel-Rahman, who was brought into the U.S., despite being on a State Department terror watch list by the CIA. CIA agent, as was later admitted, reported in the New York Times and everything, the CIA rubber-stamped his entry into the U.S. as, quote, a reward for his services to the CIA in Afghanistan. Remember back when Osama bin Laden was the CIA's golden boy in Afghanistan and these terrorists were wonderful freedom-fighting liberators of Afghanistan? Remember that? Yeah, during that time. So anyway, there is precedent. Let's just say the CIA has form for using some of these people. How did this illegal immigrant get into the United States? How did he stay here all this time? Maybe some people are allowed or even rubber stamped by intelligence agencies, etc. I don't know that that's the case in this. I guess we'll have to wait and see that, you know, as with every other spectacular terror event of the past couple of decades, he was on a watch list. He was known to the FBI, whatever. We'll see what reporting eventuates out of this. Just color me skeptical on this whole narrative.
Or Israel put him up to it. James, as we know, DC loves to hire Hollywood producers and consultants. They work together. Back in the Obama years, we had John Kerry going to Hollywood producers going, we need to really work on this ISIS propaganda. And indeed, they did successfully work on Hollywood propaganda for ISIS. I should have made the reference earlier, but we're still talking about media and the intersection of intelligence craft. They're calling the event in Russia, Russia's Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, of course, the Jerry Bruckheimer production that was brought to America in the summer of 2001. It is, as I say, a million times a rich tapestry. It is also, as we are recording as I come to you, evening of June 4th, 2025, it is RFK Must Die Day. And so we will end with the sun trying to carry on the legacy. Again, anybody's watching this know that James and I aren't completely in the tank for any of these guys, but are happy about the positivity that can come from the energy behind Maha and Thomas Massey and RFKJ. I'll get, I don't like monarchy. You totally fell for Trump and change too. You missed it. RFK Jr. ends COVID-19 vaccination recommendation for healthy children and pregnant women. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the Center for Disease Creation, will no longer recommend routine COVID-19 shots for healthy children and pregnant women. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced in a Tuesday Morning Post, that's right, on the only social media platform that actually matters. As far as the newscape in the world goes, last year, the Biden administration urged healthy children to get yet another COVID shot, despite the lack of any clinical data to support repeat booster strategy in children, Kennedy says in a video, flanked by FDA Commissioner Marty Makary and National Institutes of Health Director Jay Bhattacharya. It's common sense, and it's good science, Bhattacharya said. The NIH typically is not involved in vaccine regulation. They want you to think that now the NIH is sketchy and weird, that Fauci and his wife in the ethics department aren't running it anymore, I guess. The FDA decides whether to approve a vaccine, and the CDC decides who should receive it. The FDA, of course, also does the recalls later when they're found to give everybody heart attacks. The CDC is currently without an acting director, and it appears Kennedy has made the decision unilaterally. The coronavirus has killed more than 1 million people in the past 5 years, citation needed, and annual shots have served as a dose of protection. Lots of citations needed. Yet fewer and fewer people have been getting them, and top administration officials argue there's no benefit and even potential harm to individuals. During his confirmation hearings, Kennedy assured lawmakers he would not take away anyone's vaccines, but removing the vaccine from the CDC's recommendation list will have a similar impact. The small children that need to read graphic homosexual pornography, if they don't get it served to them at school as little kids, it's going to be harder to get. The current recommendation from the CDC is everyone for at least 6 months old, including pregnant women, who assuming are older than that, to get COVID vaccines annually. Cutting the shot from the CDC's list of routine vaccines will make it much more difficult for people who want to get the shot again. I think they build in this scarcity thing. Oh my God, oh gosh, I got to get it. They have plenty for you at Walgreens, don't worry. Cutting the shot from the CDC's list of routine vaccines, they claim, will make it much more difficult for people who want to get the shot to get it. Insurance companies will no longer have to cover it, and government programs such as Medicare won't either. Those same insurance companies have also noted the drastic increase in claims these last 5 years. The change in CDC recommendation comes a week after Macri and the agency's top vaccine regulator announced a plan to limit the approval of new COVID-19 vaccines to adults over 65, as well as people who are at high risk. New COVID-19 vaccines intended for healthy children and adults will need to go through lengthy placebo-controlled trials and approval. Yeah, what a pain in the butt that all that testing is. But it was not immediately clear what the recommendation against healthy pregnant women receiving the shot will mean, and Macri and HHS last week listed pregnancy as a risk factor for having complications from COVID-19. Infectious disease experts have said they've worried this move is part of a larger trend of the HHS pulling back from promoting and approving new vaccines, which again, during the Obama years, the call was put forward. We need more vaccines. Our pharmaceutical agencies and corporations are all languishing. I remember reporting on that many moons ago in the Media Monarchy Kingdom. Kennedy, of course, has a long history of opposition to a variety of vaccines and petitioned the FDA in 2021 to revoke the emergency use authorizations for the God-given COVID shots. Macri and Bhattacharya, also prominent skeptics of the COVID-19 shot and vaccine mandates. Jerome Adams, meanwhile, a public health expert and former Surgeon General from the first Trump administration, said the announcement was concerning and effectively a mandate against the vaccines for certain groups. They got to bring out the few people they can find that don't like the Trump when he worked with him. Shifting from vaccine mandates to outright prohibitions does not reflect medical freedom. It represents a different form of government intervention, one that restricts individual choice and access to evidence-based care. Why not both? Landmark Maha report allegedly cited studies that don't exist. Update, they removed all those studies that don't exist. James,
good grief. All right, James. Well, on that latter part of the story, that's a crazy thing, because I certainly saw when this Landmark Maha report was released, and there was a lot of, you know, excitement about it. And then it turns out, you know, a couple days later, hey, we actually checked some of the citations in here, and we talked to the authors of these supposed studies, and they said, I never wrote a study about that. So they just, how on earth did studies that literally never existed suddenly appear as citations in this Landmark report? Could it have something to do with some intern using an AI LLM? No, of course not. No, it was a formatting error, is I think the excuse that they went with, which is obvious BS. So, you know, yay, surprise, surprise, the new people in the positions of power are equally happy to lie to your face and get you to try to believe it. No, they used AI LLM to hallucinate garbage that didn't exist and put in a report and hoped you would swallow it without asking. questions. Anyway, that doesn't bode well for what we were talking about just a couple months ago here on New World Next Week, number 588. Autism solved by September. Remember, RFKJ is going to finally get to the bottom of autism. He's probably just going to ask ChatGPT, I guess. But you raise a number of good points about the main story. First of all, of course, for people who know, who have been switched onto reality, what the CDC is now announcing is not enough. They should be putting a halt to all recommendations for all of these vaccines, of course. But hey, it's a step in the right direction, right? And we're heading in that direction, which is a gooder thing than it could have been, I suppose, to butcher the language. But I think there's a couple of underlying points that actually, regardless of what you think about any of these political puppets and the misrulers and people in positions of so-called political authority, whatever, the real thing, that none of that matters, none of it ever has, because as I always point out, the thing that actually matters is the court of public opinion. The most valuable real estate is the space between your ears. What you think, what you believe is incredibly important. And at the very least, as you say, at least MAHA and the idea that it represents, not the particular people that are implementing it in a particular political way, no, the idea of MAHA and that people are at least thinking about and activated and interested in and encouraged by the idea of becoming healthy again. At the very least, that's something to strive towards, is it not? But also, I like how this utterly exposes the total hypocrisy of the people who for years were saying, trust the science. The science says you must listen to whatever the health authorities tell you because there's no way that scientists can ever be political. And now those exact same people, they politicize the science. You can't listen to the health authorities, which is presumably exactly why certain people are now being allowed back on controlled censorship platforms, because now you can say the things that you couldn't have said a few years ago, because now it's good to question health authorities, right? Interesting turn of events, is it not? But at the very least, let us rub that in the face of the people who said trust the science forever and ever, and never let them forget it. No, you've got to trust the science. The new head of the HHS and CDC, they're telling you that these vaccines need placebo, double-blind, placebo-controlled gold standard studies before we can accept them, right? No, we don't want to do that. It's the hypocrisy exposure is hilarious. I will take some schadenfreude from that. But on the bigger note, as I say, the thing that matters is what people are directing themselves towards. And to the extent that people are thinking about, motivated to, and excited about the idea of becoming healthy and thinking about what they're putting into their bodies and how they're treating themselves, that is to the good. And that is a win in the court of public opinion. So let's take the wins where they come. And whatever, the politics, schmolitics, that'll sort itself out.
At a time where it's never been easier to get some prescription for some highly addictive drug and thwack on your fondle slab and imagine that you're healthy, because I'm talking to my AI guru. All that's, again, you can just go outside. James, I will admit, I know this won't come as a shock to many folks out there who know I was the class clown of high school. I had keyboarding in high school and it was like eighth period. I would come in, grab the floppy from somebody in third period, and open up their work and just save it down as my owner. Make a couple little mess-ups, make sure. That's the extent of, I think, the sort of the level of like, oh, I used the internet to help me cheat in school back in the day. Hey, and I will let folks know. We were talking about the sudden resurrection of certain social media and video outlets when I had James on The Morning Monarchy on Tuesday. So we had a nice exclusive talk there. I will include that link. He is looking quite fetching in his Media Monarchy shirt, which you can find that and more at newworldnextweek.com. Monarchy shirts, Corbett shirts, Corbett toques. And we are working very diligently right now on the upcoming next installment in the USB series. So no, that one's going well, James. We got that one all copied and put off into the mail. It is headed to the manufacturers as we speak. And a couple of other mentions under the hood at the Media Monarchy Kingdom. I fixed my contact page, which I should totally announce here on New World next week. But I also fixed my crypto donations page, MediaMonarchy.com/crypto. I have increased my ability to take other few different forms of cryptocurrency, even, yes, dog money. And we, of course, have the post office box for people that don't do dog money, people that don't even want to do digital banking. You can send your support to the American Post Office Box. Just please include an email address and instructions for how you want things divvied up. And that'll do it, James. That is New World Next Week, I believe episode 592, my friend. What do you got coming up next?
We shall see. I've got a lot of things in the oven, as it were, but stay tuned to CorbettReport.com for more, and stay tuned for next week's edition of New World Next Week. I'm looking forward to it, James. I hope you are, too. See you then.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.